This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com.
It's great to have with me today, as my guest here on BPN Radio, my friend Dennis Jernigan. And 31 years ago, I was ministering at a church in Oklahoma City. And one Sunday morning, I was meeting with a pastor, music leader, church administrator for prayer. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit opened my spiritual eyes, and I saw the music leader and the business administrator trading places. I shared that with the pastor, and he said, I agree with that. So that Sunday morning, Dennis Jernigan became the worship leader of that church. 31 years later, he's still going, and my guest here on the Monday Prayer Watch today. Dennis is a well-known worship leader, song receiver, author, but more importantly, is a husband and father. Married for 33 years to Melinda. They have 9 children, make their home in Muskogee, Oklahoma, where they are now welcoming grandchildren. Having been walking in freedom from his former homosexual identity since November 7th, 1981, Dennis takes great joy in sharing the grace and love of God with any who desire freedom in their own lives. Known for his worship songs, his gift for singing God's heart over hurting people, as well as his ability to lead people into a deeper, freeing awareness of Father's love in their lives, Dennis Jernigan spends a great deal of time encouraging others to embrace their true. Welcome to BPN Radio here on this Monday. Delighted to have you on with me today.
Delighted to be here, Dale. Thanks for having me, brother. Can you believe it's been 31 years?
31 years since we had a heart-to-heart conversation. But I know that you've had an amazing journey, and of course, certainly not without controversy. I'm looking forward to reading your new autobiography that is now in print. Tell us some of your story. I'm going to play some of your music today. We're going to talk a little bit about what your journeys look like, but tell us some of your story right now.
Well, you want my story now or where I came from?
Where you came from would be great.
Well, I grew up in the church, and I remember when I was about 5 years old, being in a restroom, and a man exposed himself to me and wanted me to touch him, and I wouldn't do it, and I ran with full intention of telling my mom what had just happened. And then this thought came into my mind, why would that man think you would want to do that? What about you said that you would enjoy that? And so right then and there, the enemy got his foot in the door of my mind, and I began believing lies about who God created me to be, who he said I was, and I struggled with same-sex attraction from the time I was about 5 years of age. And then when I was about 10 years old, by that time I was already the church pianist at our little Baptist church in Oklahoma. And I remember one Sunday morning playing with my brothers and cousins on the church steps, and the men who had taught me about God since I was a little boy, the men who I respected most, the men who were most like God in my life, began discussing what they thought of homosexuals. And that's the first time I realized they're talking about me. They just don't know it's me they're talking about. And my only conclusion was they hated me, and if they know God like they do, God must hate me too. So I was juxtaposed with wanting God's love, but believing it was impossible just because of what the church had communicated to me, just even in unspoken ways. So I began to just try to perform my way through life, because I discovered real quickly, if I was good at everything I did, nobody asked questions. So I was one of those kids that, I remember hearing it myself, people saying, oh, don't you wish your kids were like that good Jernigan boy? And every time I heard that, I just cringed inside, because I thought, no, if you knew what I was really like, you would hate me. You wouldn't want your kids to be like me at all. So I began to perform my way through life, and based everyone's love and affirmation upon how well I performed. And I even went to college to study music and get there and find out I don't know as much as I thought I knew just because I played by ear. I was, because I could hear so well, they put me in the top theory class, meaning it was, I might as well have been speaking Russian because I didn't understand what they were talking about. But needless to say, that shoved me even more into that performance mode. And during my time there, I also went to the head of the theory and composition department and said I wanted to declare my major as a songwriter. And it's just a side note, just to tell you about part of my journey. That professor looked at me and said, well, Mr. Jernigan, we only have a few openings in that department. We reserve them for people who see that potential, and we just honestly don't see that potential in you. So I was crushed, and I didn't know what to do at that point. So also at the same time, I discovered other guys like me in school. We gravitated to each other, of course. That's what the enemy's plan is. Get us so self-focused that all we can see is ourselves, and that's where I was as a college kid. And I remember my senior year getting to the point of desperation where I just basically said, Lord, I need you to heal me because I don't know what to do. And lo and behold, I was walking across campus one day, and this person calls my name, and I turn around, and it's somebody that's, you know, I felt like a worthless human being, worthless excuse for a man. And here's this guy who's a Christian leader in the community, husband, father, well-respected, and I'm like, how do you even know who I am? But long story made short, he began investing his life in mine, and there came a point after several weeks of him just taking me out for a Coke and praying with me, and helping me with my studies. I mean, anything I needed, he was there, and just, he made me feel like I was worth something just by investing time in me. So there came a night when I went to him, and I said, there's something that I've been carrying my whole life that I'm scared to death to tell you, but I don't know what else to do, and I think I can trust you. He said, son, there's nothing you can tell me that will keep me from loving you. So I told him, and in that moment, it felt like the weight of the world finally lifted off my shoulders. But then it was shattered when he made a sexual advance on me. And that's the night I tried to take my own life. I had a little gas heating stove in my apartment. I turned it on. I didn't like the flame. And I just laid down on the floor. But after a couple of minutes, this thought came into my mind. I knew now it was the Holy Spirit. But at that time, this thought just kept saying, do you know what waits for you out there? Are you ready for eternity? And I could not answer that question. And in fear, I get up, turn off the gas, and I just declare to myself, this is just the way I was born. I'm going to stop fighting. I'm going to embrace it. I give up. So I lived the rest of that year. That was 1980. And then to my graduation in 1981, I'm ashamed to say, but it's part of my story. I was in a relationship with another man, and I became more miserable than ever giving myself to that life. I mean, miserable. So I did finally began to get some smarts about me, and I cut off this relationship, and then I decided, you know, God didn't meet me at my Christian university. He'll meet me at seminary, so I'll just go to seminary. After all, I've already tried suicide. Might as well try seminary. I don't see how it could be any worse. So I, 3 days before I was to go to seminary, though, a friend of mine called and said, Dennis, the Lord's been speaking to me about you. And that scared me to death because I didn't ever hear the Lord speak to me about me, so I didn't know what this guy was talking about. And he said, actually, the Lord came to me in a dream, and in this dream he was giving you music, and people all over the world were singing your songs. And I said, well, that's cool, I guess. But he said, well, to confirm it to you, my mother had the same dream, and we don't think that's a coincidence. We think that's the Holy Spirit. We'd like to invite you to move in with us here in Oklahoma City and give God a chance to work in your life. So 3 days later, instead of going to seminary, Dale, I'm in Oklahoma City, actually Del City, Oklahoma. Found a job quickly with my church music degree, driving a school bus for the local school district. And that's always something to fall back on, you music majors out there. But that was the hand of the Lord, because think about it. I had morning bus routes and afternoon bus routes and hours in between where I literally was losing my mind, because homosexual thought was just berating me on one side, and my friend on the other side was telling me the word of God every day. So I was being pulled in two opposite directions, and a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So that's where I found myself. So I did the only thing I knew to do. I remembered the stories from my childhood, God's word, where the enemy would beset Saul. They'd send for the shepherd boy to come and play, and it said the enemy would flee. So I just began every morning after my morning bus routes, I'd open my Bible at my friend's piano while they were at work, and I would start singing from Psalm 1 until it was time for my next bus route. I'd literally sung through the Psalms just to save my sanity. And during that time, my friend who had the dream a couple of months later came to me and said, "Dennis, the Holy Spirit's told me what you're struggling with. I know what you're struggling with." See, I thought I'd hidden it so well, and I said, "Oh, he did he?" I said, "Well, what is it?" Because I thought, there's no way. He said, "It's homosexuality." And I remember I ran out of that room that night into the middle of the night, and I ran. And then I came to this point where I stopped and I realized, where am I running to? I've just lost everything. My last friend is gone. And so I said, "Lord, if you're real, I need you to speak to me." And your listeners will understand this. It was a moonlit night, and there were two clouds in the sky, and one cloud looked like me, like an old man with a beard, and I looked at it, and I thought, am I just seeing things? And then the other little cloud, smaller, looked like a little lamb, and the little lamb cloud was consumed by the man with the beard cloud, and I felt like that was the Lord speaking to me in that moment. So it gave me the grace to go back and face my friend, and you know what my friend had done? He had not moved one inch. He was sitting there waiting for me. He said, "Dennis, I don't know how to help you. I just know I know the answer." And I said, "What the heck does that mean?" He said, "If Jesus is the answer." I said, "But I've begged him my whole life to change me, and he's done nothing." He said, "But Dennis, you haven't heard it like this. I'm so convinced Jesus is the answer. Let's just seek him together. I'll walk with you shoulder to shoulder as long as it takes. It takes years. I'll walk with you towards Jesus. If you need to yell at when you don't understand, I can take that. But here's what convinced me." He said, "And when you fall down, I will help you up every time." And that, hey. But my story continued because that was just the Lord just preparing and softening my heart. November 7th, 1981 comes along.
And one of my favorite Christian bands at that time, a band called Second Chapter of Acts, was going to be at the University of Oklahoma. And I wanted to get there early so I could sneak in with my tape recorder and three blank tapes, because I was going to get a free album that night. It's called Bootlegging. It's illegal. It is sin. But God had mercy on me in the fact that I got to record my own deliverance. Because what happened was, they were singing this song called Mansion Builder. It just says, "Why should I worry? Why should I fret? I've got a mansion builder who ain't through with me yet." And I love that song. And they're singing it. Well, then they stop singing. And the big sister, the lead singer of the group, Annie Hearing, begins to prophesy. She said, "The Holy Spirit's told me there's somebody here tonight who's gone through things you never dreamed you'd have to go through. In fact, he says that you've got things hidden in your heart that you'd be humiliated, devastated if you thought anyone knew about it. But God wants me to tell you that he sees the things you're hiding, and he loves you anyway." She said, "We're going to make it like Christmas tonight. We're going to sing again. And as we sing, we want you to reach into the hidden places of your heart. Take out the things you're most ashamed of, your sin, your failure, your wounds, your hurts, your whatever. Put them in your hands. Lift those hands to Jesus. See those things given away to Jesus, placed on his shoulders on the cross." And she said, "Because it's like Christmas, you don't just give things away, but you receive things. What do you need from your Father? Just believe it and receive it." And so they began to sing, and I just did what she said. I just lifted those things to Jesus. And because you have to understand, I thought, because of the church's communication to me through the years, homosexual sin was too vile for Jesus to take on the cross. That's just what I believed. But here's this woman, it got through to me. She was saying, "It doesn't matter what it is, Jesus died for all of it." Yeah. And so I placed homosexual sin on the shoulders of Jesus that night. And all during the course of this song, on the tape, you can hear it. I still have the tape to this day. But you can hear me sobbing because my heart is broken. I see myself crucified with Christ, see myself buried with him, and then as the song is ending, I'm hearing Jesus. He's standing at the head of my grave. He's saying, Dennis Jernigan, come forth. You leave the old you there, because he's dead now. I want you to come out and be who I say you are. And so that night I walked out of homosexual identity into a brand new creation identity, now heterosexual identity. And so much healing came over the next 2 years, just the renewal of my mind, that the Lord gave me a wife. Melinda and I have been married now 34 years, and we have 9 children, about to have our 10th grandbaby. I'm just saying all that because God is, all those things that I just mentioned are the things the enemy was trying to rob from me. The battleground has always been my mind, not my physical body. That is the battleground. Proverbs 23:7 says that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Romans 12:2 tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So the most asked question of my life is this: was your healing instant, or has it been a process? And the answer is absolutely yes to both of those. In an instant, I was born again, utterly, irrevocably saved, set free, given a brand new creation identity. The process looks a lot like Lazarus coming forth from the grave. Lazarus was fully alive when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. But he wasn't as free as he was going to be, because we know Jesus said something so significant. He said, loose from him the grave clothes. So one of the first things the Lord began to deal with me on, just to illustrate my point of what the process looks like, the things that used to identify me in my old sinful state are the things of death that wrapped me up and bound me. I'm fully alive in Christ, and I'm walking towards Jesus, ripping away the grave clothes. When I was a kid, because I was an artsy-fartsy musical kid raised on a farm in a macho-centered country setting, I stuck out like a sore thumb. I didn't know how to deal with me. My parents didn't know how to deal with me, so I would erupt in these temper tantrums. And my mom would just say, well, that's the Bristol in you, meaning you're like your great-grandparents. You're fiery redhead. They're fiery redheads. You come by your anger naturally. That's just the way you are. Well, one of the first things the Holy Spirit began to deal with me on was my anger. He said, son, who told you were an angry person? I said, well, my family. He said, I'm your maker. I want you to see who I say you are. See that old angry self you thought you were? That's part of the old grave clothes. Rip that away, son. See what's exposed there? That heart of peace I planted in you? That's who you are. Just be that. So in other words, since 1981, I've been asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to me the lies of the enemy. When they were revealed, I denounced them, kicked them to the curb, put on the truth of God's word, and walk on down the road into my true identity. There, that's my story in a nutshell. There's so much more, but have to read the book to get the whole thing.
Yeah, how can people get your autobiography, Sing Over Me? How do they get that, Dennis?
Sing Over Me is available at Amazon.com, and I've written a companion book now, too, that's called Renewing Your Mind, Identity in the Matter of Choice. Identity in the Matter of Choice. Renewing Your Mind, Identity in the Matter of Choice. And Sing Over Me and that book are both available at Amazon.com. So I'm real pleased to let people know about those.
Amazon.com. You know, Dennis, you have an amazing testimony, and of course I've heard your testimony for many years. When you first started sharing your testimony about your deliverance from homosexuality, it was not much of a controversy in the church. Why is homosexuality become such a controversy in Christendom today?
Well, I believe, you know what? The church is being swayed more than I would like it to be by the lies of the enemy, that we're more concerned about people's feelings than about their salvation and about their true identity. So I believe the church is being more swayed by the world in some ways than the world's being swayed by the church. That's just me being real, because I've gotten so many churches, I'm not even going to mention names or anything, but just asking me to not share my story when I come to minister.
Wow.
That sounds crazy,
yeah,
but that's the truth.
It does. What? I know you've paid an amazing price for your testimony, but particularly in the last several years, I believe there's been probably a lot of well-known singers and ministries that have seemingly disconnected themselves from you. It's amazing how homosexuality is creeping into the church. And why has it become so controversial? And is homosexuality a sin? What does the Bible say?
I believe the temptation is not a sin. The temptation is not the sin, but the willful acceptance of the temptation and acting on it, that's the sin. The behavior is the sin. Jesus was tempted in every manner just as we are, yet without sin. And it's just the church forsaking the word of God, I believe, is the issue. God's word is the word that it lasts forever. It stands. So when the church doesn't even believe the word of God, I don't believe that's the real church. I'm just being honest with you.
I agree. And, here on BPN Radio, when I ask people to repent, because I believe the church needs to repent, homosexuality, of course, is included. And some people, they actually get offended. I had one pastor friend in Oklahoma City said he mentioned it, and 46 of his people stood up and walked out on a Sunday morning. So I know that you're paying a major price, but I believe that by sharing your testimony, because homosexuality, the gay lifestyle, has become so widespread in America, I believe that you're helping a lot more people maybe than you even realize. Of course, I'm sure you're getting lots of testimonies.
Well, I get a lot of emails. I mean, this is one of those sins that just carries with it a lot of shame. And shame is, I heard someone else say this one time, shame is, guilt is the understanding that I've done something wrong. Shame is the belief that I am something wrong. God didn't make the mistake when he made me. I didn't get to even choose my temptation, but I always had a choice as to what I would do with that temptation. That's where we forget that we are people of choice. We are people of choice. And I'll tell you this too, Dale. I just hear from so many people on a daily basis who want help that I will never stop sharing my story, even if the church doesn't want to hear it, even if the world doesn't want to hear it. Because I remember being a kid wishing somebody would have told me there was hope. And that was me growing up in the church, mm-hmm. sitting in the pew Sunday after Sunday saying, oh, please, please somebody mention this. Please somebody tell me how to get out of this. Mm-hmm. And nobody ever did. So I thought after the Lord's, and see, it took me 7 years from the point of my freedom, initial freedom, to the point where I felt safe enough, even in the body of Christ, to share. In fact, it was at that church you mentioned earlier in Oklahoma City, 1988, July of 1988, I decided, you know, the word of God says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit told me, he said, son, it doesn't matter what you're redeemed from as long as you're redeemed. So why does it matter what you're redeemed from? In fact, if you don't share what you're redeemed from, how in the world is anyone else going to know freedom is possible? So that's why I share. And I'll tell you this, I thought I was going to lose everything when I shared for the first time. So I was prepared to pack up and do something else with my life. I really was. And then that first time I shared, it took all of 10 minutes. And then I stood around for the next 2 hours hearing person after person tell me their hidden secrets, hidden things that they had wanted to get freedom from. And because of my testimony, said, well, if he can do it, then I can do it. I mean, I had one woman come up to me just right away, and she said, Dennis, when I was 16, I had an abortion, and I never told anyone, and I carried that around with me all these years. But for the first time, I've given it to Jesus. Then I had somebody else come up to me and say, Dennis, I was assaulted when I was 13 years old, sexually assaulted by two men and abandoned in the woods. And when you shared your story, I felt like it wasn't my fault anymore. And she got free from that. So story after story, it's like, why would I not share after hearing things like that? Why would I not?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I certainly agree, and I certainly honor you for sharing, being open with your testimony, particularly in these days when there's such a controversy surrounding all of this. I'm glad you're talking and speaking, because I know a very few men or individuals that are doing so. And of course, I'm going to have you to pray for those that may be struggling with homosexuality in a few moments, but I know that your journey has not only been your testimony, but also been your music. And of course, I know that you're primarily known for your music. You have written so and recorded so many incredible songs, and I played many of them. One of those is a theme song for our Night Watch here. We have worship music, prayer and scriptures all night long on BPN Radio. When the night is falling, we pray. Yeah. We play that as a theme song for our night watch. So you're heard many, many times in the nighttime here on BPN Radio. I do also play some of your songs. But tell us about your musical journey as well before I have you to pray.
Well, like I said, I was told in college they saw no potential in me. So after the Lord began setting me free, I just decided, you know, there are no songs written from my point of view, from my part of the journey. So I just began to write my own. I didn't care what the world thought. And then I decided to record a little recording there at Western Hills in Oklahoma City. And I had enough money to buy a Tascam 4-track recorder. I recorded a little worship album. Jeannie Rogers, James Robinson's worship pastor or leader for many years, heard it and she said, "Dennis, that sounds like you're singing with a bunch of crows." So we call that recording "Dennis and the Crows" to this day. But she said, "There's an anointing on it." And so that first little cassette, we just independently produced it and sold or gave away over 60,000 that first year.
Oh, wow.
And that was without a record label or anything. And then I had the big record companies pursue me. And I always told him, you know, my first responsibility is to be a husband and father to my kids. I don't want my kids to need a ministry like mine, so I'm not going to tour. Well, that was a death knell for those guys. But then Word Music came along and said, "Dennis, we believe in you and your message, and we want to help you." And so they said, "You write your contract and we'll sign it." So I was with them for 17 years. And initially, I was on a label called Heart Cry, but... just to tell you a little bit about the music industry, even on the Christian side, another major label wanted the distribution for their worship series, and they said, "We won't sign a deal with you, Word Music, unless you kill the Heart Cry label that Dennis Turnigan's on."
Wow.
And so, but Word, a man named Don Kaysen was a champion for me. He was the president of Word at that time. He said, "Dennis, we'll keep on distributing you even without a label." So I did that for many years. And then one of the issues I came into with the marketing or lack thereof was that they just didn't know how to market me. In fact, I got tired of hearing, "Do you have to share your story? Do you have to always talk about that?" And I always came back with them and said, "Yeah, kind of have to do that, because God's word says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's why I'm here on this planet."
Mm-hmm.
So that brings me to present. I'm without a label now, have been for many years. I'm an independent artist, and with the advent of the digital age, I've tried to create a social presence on social media like Facebook and Instagram. I have a podcast I just started called the Dennis Turnigan Podcast. I'm writing books. I've written fantasy series, because God used fantasy, believe it or not, to keep my mind sane when I was a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to write a fantasy series called The Chronicles of Bryn, and it's available on Amazon.com as well. And I've written a suspense thriller that I'm going to release after the first of the year. It's called The Short Life, and it's a godly perspective. I wrote it for the world, though, so it's rated PG. So I wanted the world to stand up and take notice of Jesus, and so that's going to be coming out. And then my dad passed away this August. He worked for me over 20 years in my ministry, but he inspired a story, a children's story I just released on Amazon as well, called The Incredible Growing Basketball Goal. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but I'm just saying all this to say I'm branching out. Yes, I'll always have music. That will always be a part of who I am, part of my expression, but the Lord's given me a voice in the writing world as well. So I'm happy to get the word out about Jesus and his love for us through that means as well.
You've had an amazing journey, Dennis, and you're still writing, recording, and moving forward, sharing your testimony. Do you know how many songs have you recorded? How many have you sold, you know?
I've written several thousand. I've recorded, oh my goodness, almost between 45 and 50 full-length recordings. Most of them are available on iTunes. My newest one is just me sitting at the piano, and it's a 16-song collection called First Love, and it's one of my favorite recordings I've ever done, because it's just me sitting in a studio in Tupelo, Mississippi, worshiping for 3 days. And we took the best of those 16 songs and or those recording sessions and put them on. It's called First Love. So I'm real happy about that. I think the DJ fans out there will appreciate that just because it's how I do the songs when it's just me by myself.
Well, I know that over the years you have sat down in auditoriums behind the at the keyboard and begin to sing, and other people sing with you. It's an amazing gift, amazing anointing. I'm going to play one of the songs from your new album, First Love, and I want to encourage everybody to Google Dennis Jernigan, Jernigan. And go to your Facebook page. And, of course, if they Google you, they can get lots of information. I'm going to play some of your music today, Dennis. I'm so honored to have you on, and I've been looking forward to it for some time. I know that you're very busy. So thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on with me today.
I appreciate it, Dale. I'll always come on your show if the Lord will allow me. So.
Okay.
Ask again
good.
Sometime.
Good. I want you to come back and talk to us some more. I'm going to play some worship music, and I want you to say a prayer, particularly for those who are struggling with homosexuality or shame or any secret sin. However the Holy Spirit leads you, I'll play some worship music, and then I'm going to play some of your songs.
Okay. You want me to pray right now?
Yeah, go for it.
Father, you set me free, so you're able to set anyone free. I ask you right now to send forth your word of freedom to those who are struggling with same-sex attraction or just identity issues in particular, Father. The enemy hates us. He hates who you are, and he does not want us to know you. He certainly wants us to become so self-focused that all we see is ourselves. But Lord, help us to repent and take our eyes off of us, put our eyes on you, and fix our eyes there. And Father, I ask you that you would set the captive free right now. Just by the word of God going forth, set the captives free, Father. For those who are dealing with shame, Father, let them see that you dealt with shame on the cross. For those who are dealing with incredible guilt over their failure, I ask you to do the same. Give them grace to release that guilt to you, Father. Father, I ask for freedom. I ask for healing. I ask especially for renewing of the mind. I rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus over all those who are listening, and I declare that true identity comes only from the Maker. True identity only comes from Jesus Christ, knowing Him. So, Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to know you in this life. We don't have to wait to heaven. We want to be like David says, oh, that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So, Father, I ask you to set the captive free in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you very much, Dennis. He's faithful and true. I look forward to having you back. God bless you. Thank you for being on today.
My honor. Thank you, sir.
Dennis Jernigan. Here's Dennis right now from his new album, First Love.
Faithful guide, faithful. You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
Come running back to you. stirring in my soul, a fire in my bones, longing for the King to come. The signs are everywhere I go, and deep inside I know, any day the King will come. And this could be the last generation. This could be the last generation. This could be the last generation the world will ever see. Gotta live for your name in such a way, like it's my last chance to love you, my love. For your name, oh, in such a way, like it's my last chance to love you.
Love you, I live for your name on time. Word tells us to enter into thy closet and shut thy door. Now, closet in the original Greek means bedchamber. These are the times when we enter into that intimacy, our recreated spirit with the Holy Spirit of God, and have that relationship. And then life comes forth. And thank God for the chamber experience. In the chamber.
Father, I worship you out of my spirit. Blessing and thanking you in our own way. Your heart I covet, Lord, your will and purpose. So into submission I surrender this day. Into the chamber, speak through me gently as I close the door. Heavenly lover, let thy presence cover Shekinah unending is all I long for. Now on my pathway the wine press falls heavy, but bringing forth only the best of the wine. So I press toward the mark for the prize of high calling, to be a part of that beautiful lady and bride. Into the chamber, be free, Holy Spirit, speak through me gently as I close the door. Heavenly lover, let thy presence cover Shekinah unending is all I.